Sometimes you gotta stay. Good morning, everybody. This is Beat with Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM in the great state of Seattle. We got a great show for you here today. We've been good friends, our sponsors of our show. They've been around with us for quite a long time. Seatown Electric, Plumbing, Heating, and Air. You can check these guys out at seatownservices.com. They got a great website. I was talking to Justin, who works and does marketing with them, and he was pointing out some things. If you want to check out our Home Matter podcast, you can go there to seatownservices.com. And just click on the More menu tab, and right down below it on the menu item says podcast. It's all the previous shows we've done. A lot of good education for you guys and what these guys can do for you. And also just understanding everything from, you know, we have Cody again on air. Cody and I have talked about, you know, heat pumps, how they work. We're going to talk a little bit about heat pump water heaters, which are really cool. I really like those, that technology. We've done electrical work. We've done sewer lines. We've done whole home rewiring. I mean, just about anything and everything as far as mechanical and electrical systems around your home. We probably have a show about it, and it's out there at seatownservices.com. Just grab your pen and paper, too, because I'll give you their phone number. Today, we're going to be talking with a new individual, James Henry. He's going to be on the show with us. He comes from the service side primarily. So we're going to talk about some of the things that he does at Seatown as far as diagnostics, maintenance, service calls, home inspections, things that you would need in your home. And then, of course, Cody Martin will be back. He's the HVAC tech manager, and he and I are going to be discussing hybrid water heaters, as well as it's this time of year. You know, we're going into warmer weather, you guys know, this weekend. And as far as getting your AC units, your heat pumps, and even furnace, it's a good time to do that too before everybody else does in the fall. So we'll be discussing that with both Cody and with James. So James, I want to introduce you first. It's good to have you on the show. Glad to have you here. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. So let's start out, because this is the first time on the show at Home Matters, and I always like to so people know who they're listening with us. And of course, when you come out to the home, if you've been on the show, they'll probably go, "Hey, I heard you on Home Matters," which is always a good thing. So can you tell us a little bit about your background? Like, how did you get into electrical work? What's your story?
Honestly, I've been doing this for almost a decade now. Say I started basically right after high school. Okay. You know, college path wasn't for me at that point in time. And so, you know, I figured getting into trade work and doing electrical.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
that's, you know, great. That's where I was headed at that point and what I was wanting to do. So, you know, did that for, you know, did it with a couple of years with the one company as an apprentice, and then say saw a better financial opportunity with another company and went over there and got my journeyman card, and, you know, was doing high-end residential and remodel work. As I did my journeyman and say got my card and everything, was doing all that, say started doing some service work with that company, and then kind of, you know, just fell in love with it from there. And you know, after a little bit of time, say, saw some ads for Seatown and came over, talked to Brandon, and, you know, just away from there at that point, say, and here I am, say, almost 3 years later.
Wow, that's awesome. And actually, you're one of the few that I've talked to, and I've talked to a few people at Seatown that actually came through an ad. Most of them are Fred referrals, family referrals. So that's you saw that. So why did you, what was it about talking with Brandon where you decided, hey, I really like this company, I want to join this family?
Also, with speaking it with him and you know, I kind of laid it out for him. I was like, hey, like, this is what I'm looking for in regards to like work and for what I'm trying to do for in regards to compensation and what my financial goals are and just all the things like that. And, you know, he walked me around, showed me the shop that we were at in Everett, you know, kind of took me through their process and everything. And now I just fell in love with it because I prefer a little bit more of an organization to my day and to the company I work with and everything. So
yeah,
just everything that he and I talked about and looked at, you know, I was like, all right, let's say, can I start in 2 weeks? I was like, I'll put in my notice right now. So I'll start in 2 weeks if you're ready.
And what did he say? What did Brad say?
He's like, all right, well, good to have you aboard. So it was, you know, I'm glad that he wanted to have me at that point too. But yeah. I was like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, that's very cool. So I'm kind of curious because you know you talked about doing it, you know, high end install work, and now mm-hmm. you're doing service work. Why do you? I know it's, you know, you could do either or, but why do you prefer to do service work over install work?
Also, at that previous company, let's say the previous company I was at, and then the company before, we were doing just, you know, primarily that new construction, that remodel work, and you know, it's a very relaxed kind of environment in that aspect of just like. You know, hey, all the walls are open. We're just pulling wire and just doing whatever at that point. But, you know, part of the butting heads with other trades that aren't cohesive like they are here at C-Town, you know, very much a brotherhood between trades here. But, yeah. you know, get out onto with other contractors and stuff. They're, you know, don't really care about you and your work. And, you know, the GCs sometimes are not very polite. So it's one of those things where, I just kind of got tired of dealing with that kind of thing, and especially with working on million-dollar homes. It was, you know, there was a little bit of pressure to that in that aspect as well. So it's like, all right, well, I prefer seeing a customer and a homeowner being happy with the work that's done versus, you know, someone coming in and, you know, being upset that something's not the right shade of white or anything like that, you know?
yeah. Okay, very cool. I'll get back to you in just a second, but Cody, I want to introduce you on the show. It's good to have you back, man.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here, Cody. Like I said, he's HVAC tech manager. Do I still have your title correct? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm whatever.
You're whatever.
I'm the general manager. I started the HVAC division out of C-Town.
Oh, okay, awesome. So you're making headway. That's awesome. But I'm glad you're on again because man, these especially with what's going on in Washington State in November 4th, we'll talk about that change. In fact, I did some research, you know, to prepare for this show, and I'm excited. I might even get one of these. They call them hybrid water heaters, but they're heat pump water heaters on my next install for my house, you know, when my water heater fails. So very cool. So we'll get to you and we'll discuss that for sure on this show and let, you know, educate homeowners on what those things are all about.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, James. So going back to talk about your situation. So you got into service. So like, what's a typical day for you at C-Town? Like, how many jobs do you do and how much ground do you cover in your mm-hmm. truck?
I put the miles in on my vehicle for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely needing a little bit of love right now, but I'd say we try to hit about 4 calls in a day. You know, putting in, you know, ultimately spacing for 2 hours per call and, you know, that time to do that call for whatever is going on for there. And then, you know, traveling to the next one. Say in regards to ground that I cover, I recently moved up to Bellingham actually, and we've started servicing that area with me going up there. So, with that, I now cover the north end mostly, but I'll still cover Seattle and, you know, make my way northbound and, you know, end up north somewhere, most days, depending on what's going on, we've gone as far south as Tacoma as well.
Okay. But you're mostly up in the Snohomish Island County area. Is that kind of where you hover?
Yeah. Say up in Whatcom, usually around there. So sometimes it's a full day in Seattle and just, you know, that's just what the day looks like at that point.
How
things are looking.
Yeah. I used to do that in my company too. So the people in the office, they scheduled you to try to stay in an area. So you're not going from Seattle up to Bellingham back down to Tacoma in one day.
Yeah. Our dispatcher does a very good job.
It'd be crazy.
It makes sense for us for where we live.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Very cool. So, okay. So tell me now that we got to know you a little bit. So what kind of work do you do? You were talking about off air, kind of you broke it down into 4 sections. Can you talk about, mm-hmm. like those 4, and then we'll get into detail on each one of those.
Yeah. So typical day for me, say the 4 types of calls that I'll typically go about is generator maintenance, for any of the whole home generators that we set up and install, for homeowners to, you know, kick on for when power kicks off. We go through and try to, you know, we want to service them every month or every 12 months and say, you know, change the oil, check all the spark plugs, make sure that everything's still working and operating correctly for when they're going to need it. The other one, say number 2, would be diagnostic calls. So when things aren't working right, or, you know, your electrical's being weird, say we come out, figure out what's going on, see if someone did something weird or something's, you know, breaking down. Number 3 would be the service calls. So, you know, hey, I got a project. What can we do about this? What's it going to take? You know, if it's a small scope, you know, can get taken care of that day, and something a little bit larger, get scheduled for a different day at that point. And then say number four is the home inspections that we do with our C-Town partner plan. So we go through and check the overall health of the actual, at least for me, for electrical, say check everything electrical wise. So outlet switches, the electrical panel, the service, just make sure everything is in tip top shape and make any recommendations based off of either safety concerns or code updates, just things like that. You know, make sure the homeowners are aware of the state of their home at that point.
Yeah. So, okay. So that's great. I appreciate you breaking the four down. So when you talked about, one of the things that caught my ear is you were talking about service calls, and you said, hey, if it's small enough, we can do it that day. What's a typical service call you do, and what do you consider, hey, I can get it done today for you versus, no, this has got to be scheduled to come back?
Yeah. So if it's a massive wire pull, if it's like, hey, we need a brand new circuit that's, you know, this, you know, like a hot tub or something like that. Typically, yeah. I'm not carrying enough wire in my vehicle to try and take care of something if it's a long distance. We try to keep our vans fully stocked to, you know, take care and deal with any sort of thing that's going on. But, you know, if it's like an outlet or a light that's going to get added in or changed or anything like that, those are, you know, small, taking care of right then and there. If it's something worth, you know, hey, I need a new circuit or I need to do a whole bunch of stuff here in this room, that's where we want to try and get an apprentice with us and, you know, get that stuff installed at that point and get it dealt with.
Got it. Okay. We come back. We're going to continue our discussion with James Hendry. He's in service install tech. We're going to go through more on the diagnostic as well as the generator maintenance and home inspections. I want to talk about their C-Town partner program, why that makes a lot of sense to do that. You can check these guys out at ctownservices.com. Not just for electrical, but plumbing, heating, and air. Or you can give them a call at 360-C-TOWN. With that, I'm Pete. This is Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM. All right, we're back. This is Pete with Home Matters, Car Radio, with James Hendry, who is on the service side there for C-Town. He's an install tech. And then Cody's going to join us and talk with us a little bit, too. He's a general manager there at C-Town. He works I guess, Cody, you do more than just HVAC now, right? I mean, you cover...
Yeah, I mean, I primarily do HVAC, but I do work with electricians. I do work with plumbers because there's just kind of ties into all the jobs we do. My background was hydronics before this on the heating
really?
Side.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, that's all I did for 6 years.
Really?
I did all my own design systems, all that stuff. So now we're starting to step into hydronics a little bit on the plumbing side. Okay. So I'm getting
you're like at you're like at genius level then.
Oh, but I do love the pipe and mechanical room. For
well,
sure.
You know what? I'll tell you what. We'll put a placeholder in that because that's another area I like to geek out on. We should have in the future. We'll have a show about that. Once you guys get are you guys bringing that on in C-Town? Then you're gonna
we're doing a boiler today.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I want to talk about that. Because cool. I think that's another, you know, at least for part of a show to talk about hydronics and, you know, educate people on it. I think it'd be pretty cool. So,
yeah, it's a dying art and it's sad. You know, it's a really cool system and it's really energy efficient, but they're just expensive and they're kind of going away little by little.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. Maybe somebody will come and improve that technology and make it a little more cost efficient.
Yeah. No, they're great. Awesome. Systems.
Yeah. That's very cool. All right. We're going to go back to talk to James here. So, James, you talked about the service call. And I know, you know, you mentioned about, you know, you like service and it's different than install because really with service, you actually get to talk to the customer more. So how do you interface with a customer when you come in? Are you doing the selling and the install while you're there if you're looking at something?
Yeah. So, you know, it really depends on what the scope of the work is that they've been, you know, that they call us out there for. Okay. But, you know, say we're writing out the bids and estimates while we're there. And, you know, like I was saying a little bit ago, say if we're, you know, if it's a small project that we can tackle and get done and dealt with right there, then we are doing it, installing it on site. If it's a larger project, say get scheduled to a different day for ourselves, but if there's an opening for our install team to install, we'll go ahead and tackle that as well. So kind of goes back and forth a little bit.
From a service side, is it more common that you, if it's a larger job, to say, you know, hey, here's what it costs, and then you call into the office and schedule yourself to do the job, or is it more of an install?
So that's actually exactly what that is right there. I've had plenty of times where, you know, hey, like this is a large project. This is going to be, you know, a full day project with two people. This is what the availability is on my schedule. If you want to keep it with me, if okay. you wanting to do it with, you know, with whoever, I say I have a sooner availability with my install team, say kind of just go from there. At that point, we call the office okay. together. So that way, you know, they can hear the conversation. And then that way, you know, everything's discussed at the same time.
Got it. Are you, so with your service calls, are the customers primarily there or not there when you're doing the work?
More often than not, they're there. I have okay. had a couple moments or a couple different times, say, especially recently, where, you know, there's landlords calling in. They're like, hey, my tenant said this is going on. So at that point, you know, trying to make sure that communication is very vigilant and yeah. doing lots of pictures, videos, and, you know, texting and calling the homeowner at that point and be like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I'm seeing. This is what we're looking at. And then that way, just everyone's in the same loop at that point.
Got it. Got it. So you mentioned too, as one of the four things, you talked about, you know, we've been talking about service, but you also made one of the separate functions diagnostics. So can you, how is diagnostics different from service, and what do you do in diagnostic calls?
Well, yeah, say when homeowners call in or send in a service request online with our website, you know, I'd say at that point, the CSRs will kind of figure out what's going on for that call. And if it needs to be a service call or diagnostic, they label it. So that way we're aware of what we're going out to do, basically.
Okay. So you know, going out, whether it's a service call or diagnostic.
Yeah. Yeah. Say our staff are very good about making sure that everyone's on the same page and knowing what's going on. So that way the expectations of what's going to be done, what's going to be addressed is at the forefront, basically.
Okay. But what's it like? What's an example for people listening? What's an example of a diagnostic call versus a service call?
Mm-hmm. Also, for like a diagnostic call, if you have a breaker that's tripping or you have outlets or lights that aren't working, you know, you just can't figure out what's going on and just it's been eluding you for whatever you've tried to do to resolve it on your own. And, you know, so you scratch your head and can't figure out what's happening. We come out, we take a look, see what's going on. And at that point, we can determine if it's, you know, if it's a natural failure of the equipment or if it's something that was just, you know, not done correctly initially, you know, and then versus like a service call, like, hey, can you come out here and, you know, let's add some water outlets into this room, or, hey, I'm thinking about doing this project. You know, can you guys come out here and give me a quote? And then that way we go from there and kind of, you know, hey, I can take care of this right now. Or, you know, hey, like, this is a little bit of a larger project, so we'll need to come back and do this a different day. But if you're good yeah. to go on this, let's take care of it.
Yeah. Do you typically have customers like on the smaller child projects where you're saying, hey, this is what it's going to take when we get started today? Do they typically go, okay, let's go do it?
Yeah. Say it's a little bit back and forth in regards to like mm-hmm. a service call. You know, sometimes homeowners are just like, hey, I'm just feeling things out. I'm just trying to figure out what the cost of this project should be. Okay. There's other customers that will just kind of be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's take care
let's
of
just
it.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of doing five quotes and stuff, you know,
yeah, five quotes yeah. for a small job.
Yeah. Yeah, just take care of it right then and there. And, you know, we have all of our guarantees to, you know, if something is to occur or anything like that with the work or, you know, for inspection, say we're guaranteeing everything is going to be done and taken care of correctly. Right. So if something pops up, we come back out and make sure it's dealt with properly.
Okay.
If anything does occur.
You know, it just, it kind of dawns on me. Within C-Town, it seems to me, at least my opinion, you seem to be kind of a generalist because you have to know a lot about a lot of different things, right? I mean, I'm looking at like, you could come in on a diagnostic call and find out that the home is a hybrid between knob and tube and jagged wiring, you know, and now you're going, well, okay, but it was partially done, but this is a larger job. And I got to refer it. So is that kind of the way you see yourself as more of a generalist than a specialist?
Yeah, I'd say specialize in generalizing, basically.
Okay.
That's the way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, say you definitely have to have a wide variety of knowledge in regards to how homes used to be wired, how they were wired 20 years ago, just basically knowing each stage of you know, electrical work ultimately, and then being able to recognize, okay, this wasn't done by an electrician. This was done by either a handyman or a homeowner that didn't know what they were doing. And now, you know, the system's either failing or you know, it's causing these issues. You know, definitely have to know how to do that to, you know, solve issues that are going on and things.
And that's always a tough conversation to have with a customer to realize that they picked the wrong skill level of person. It wasn't a journeyman level electrician, and now they got to pay again for it. You know, it's I'm sure that happens quite a bit.
Yeah, it unfortunately does. And, you know, I always feel for customers because it's tough. But, you know, I always just show them, just be like, hey, like, this is what this should look like. this is what this looks like in regards to like coming across like burned outlets and burned wiring and things just completely failing.
Yeah. You know, I was actually, that's a good point you make, because I was just talking to Aaron, you know, one of your guys there in the previous show, and he was talking about, you know, look, you can tell within seconds if it's been done by an electrician, a journeyman electrician, versus a homeowner or handyman, just how the work is done. You know, you can spot it a mile away. So, okay. One more thing I want to talk about before we end, because actually we did talk off air. Cody, you brought this up. Can you talk a little, because I know it's becoming more popular, these car chargers being put in homes now. So is that kind of a popular thing, and is that more of a service call too as well?
Yeah, it's hugely popular here. I mean, especially in the Seattle surrounding area, you know, there's every third car seems like it's a Tesla now, you know, if not, it could be a Leaf or a Bolt or a what have you, you know, now Lucid is coming out, you know, big time here too. So, it's a huge service call for us. I know you brought up a little bit ago off air that, hey, doesn't your panel need to be changed for that? And there's a couple of different ways to do it. Sometimes your panel is fine. Sometimes it can hold that and you're okay. Sometimes, you know, James mentioned that you can do something called load shed. So what that would do is like, hey, well, while you're running your car charger, something like your air conditioner or your range or something will not run and operate because you don't want them to run at the same time. Right.
Right.
You can do smaller things also instead of changing your panel, which we don't highly recommend, but you can do a sub panel, you know, off of that panel and kind of do the similar thing if you're just out of space, but you have the electrical capacity to do so. But yeah, car chargers are becoming greatly more popular. I mean, I don't know how many we run a week, but it's a ton. I mean, I would not surprise me if we're in 20 car charger bids a week.
Wow, that's a lot. Well, when we come back, I got a couple more questions related to the car chargers for both Cody and James, and then we're going to continue our discussion here. And I want to talk a little bit more about the home inspections with James, and then we'll be moving into the heat pump water heaters, which is my new darling. I think I'm going to get one of those in the future. With that, I'm Pete. This is Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM. All right, we're back. This is Pete with Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM in the great state of Seattle. We're having a good discussion here with James Henry and Cody Martin. Hopefully we'll have James on again, talk about something in the future. And we certainly will have Cody back on again. Cody and I were talking about hydronics off air, which is, I think, is super cool. But we may have a future show about that too.
Yeah, I'm always down for that.
I didn't realize, well, Cody was telling me that he has a whole background in hydronics. You how many years did you say?
I installed boilers and designed systems for about 6 years. That was like the beginning of my career. I did commercial plumbing for about a year.
Yeah,
2008. So obviously commercial didn't go well then.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of fell off the cliff.
So I switched into residential HVAC, and then that's what I've been in ever since for 15 years. So, but hydronics for HVAC was my first 6 years or so of HVAC with hydronics, just due to my kind of plumbing background.
That's really cool.
Kind of fit right in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's cool. I was actually, when you brought that up, it brought me back to my days in college. I'm a Seattle University alma mater. One of my senior projects, I did a modular heat pump system pulling heat out of heat sinks, out of the Puget Sound. And in fact, I have my whole book back here. It's that blue one back there. It's this thick. I did all the calculations. But, you know, my version was going to put, you know, stack these panels if you're on the water and you have your heat sink there and you heat your home with it. And I got a coefficient of performance of 93% off that thing. And that was back in the 80s. Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow.
That was better than what Train and Carrier were doing at the time. But anyway, it brought me back to my days of that when you mentioned hydronics and things. So it'd be a cool discussion, at least for part of a show. I think it'd be kind of neat.
Totally. Well, they still do that in the lakes now. It's geothermal.
It's
CO2.
Exactly. And that was before geothermal, where, you know, they're putting heat pumps in the heat sink, which is in the soil, right? Because that's another heat sink, right? So the concept was there. And I, you know, for a lot of colder climates, going down below the frost layer and putting the heat pumps in there is a great idea, you know, because it's constant temperature, right?
Absolutely.
So, anyway, we diverge a little bit. So, Cody, you and I probably could talk for hours over a few beers. All right. Going back to James, I wanted to, actually, I'm going to ask you this, Cody. So the car chargers we were talking about in the last segment, What kind of load do those things pull? Because you said sometimes you have to upgrade the panel, sub panel, sometimes not. But what amperage is a car charger pulling?
Yeah, so James can answer this better once you get into the load shed thing. But a typical car charger is going to be 50 amps. So the most common thing in your house that's 50 amps is going to be your electric stove or range.
Okay.
Even your water heater, your electric water heater is only 30 amps.
So it's you're pulling quite a bit.
You're pulling a lot. Yeah, you're pulling a lot.
Okay.
And that's the reason why oftentimes you need to either look into load shed or panels or upgrades and things like that, because it is a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that leads me to, so I know you brought up load shed. You talked about it, James, and Cody was saying, hey, maybe you need an upgrade panel, maybe not, maybe a sub panel, but this load shed is another alternative where maybe you don't want to upgrade your panel or change your panel out. So can you explain, like, how does a load shed operate to manage a device like a car charger?
Yeah, so the way it works is, say these guys can go up to 60 amps ultimately. So for like your hardwired car chargers, like the hardwired Tesla chargers, you can do up to that 60. But basically, goes next to the panel or goes near the panel, that circuit goes to the actual load shed. Then there's a wire that goes over to the panel itself. And ultimately what it's doing, it's reading how much energy is being used in the electrical panel. And then when the car charger is in use and it's being used, it continues to monitor that. When it gets to a point where it says, hey, there's too much energy being pulled, it kills the circuit for the car charger going up to the car charger. And then that way, okay, alleviating the stress load on the actual panel. And then that way we're not causing any sort of tripping, any sort of burning. That way just it keeps everything to where it needs to be at that point.
Okay. So basically the load shed is like an electronic load balancer, really, is what is that what it is? Okay. Now, when it does that, I mean, just from a geeky standpoint, because I'm always interested in stuff. So when it does maybe say, okay, I got to shut down the car charger, does it do a phase down on it or a step function? Because I would think you're going to put a shock if you're going to do a step function down on that thing through the charger system. Or do they phase it down on the load?
So it acts like a breaker, actually. So it'll just shut off power
completely. It just shuts it off. Okay, so it's like a step function. It's either on or off.
Yeah, so it's on or off. The ones that, 15 minutes goes by, basically, it continues to monitor the panel. If there's enough energy at that point for it to safely operate, then it kicks it back on at that point.
Okay. And the reason why I was asking, James, is because there is no effect then. Because, a lot of these, Cody's saying, almost everybody has a Tesla out on the road these days in Seattle, which makes a lot of sense. But there's no risk if you're doing that, like a circuit breaker shut off to the electronics of the Tesla through the
car. Because you're just killing power to it automatically. Okay. It's not like where you're got half the power on there, then that would mess with it at that point, but it just completely just shuts it off at that point.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Makes sense. Okay. Last thing I want to go through, James, with you, because I want to talk a little bit more about the C-Town Partner Program, because I really think this is a great idea. And you talked about home inspections, but one thing is to get a better idea if, like, I'm interested in doing something like that and I want to call C-Town. Like, do you guys have a seasonal program? Like, hey, you do these things in the fall, you do these things in the spring, these things in the summer, or how does that work?
So we typically set up as an annual plan. If you're wanting to do more than just the annual visit and kind of make it seasonal,
okay.
I believe there is an option to take care of that. Just, in regards to like furnaces, that would be a little bit more vital. But typically we try to get it up so that way it's once a year. We try to set up what we call a C-Town day where everybody, all of our trades come through at the same time to do a home maintenance check, basically, and go through and just make sure that everything's operating correctly, make sure that everything's safe, and just take a look at the overall health and well-being of the home for that each associated trade that we're looking at. So electrical system, plumbing, HVAC.
Okay. So, for instance, you may come out and look at the Generac on a generator, and someone else comes out and looks at the water heater, and someone else looks at the furnace, and so on. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
We typically, so at least electrical, we will come out, evaluate the health of the panel, see if there's any sort of warning signs for anything. Take a look at the rest of the outlets and switches, and just see how everything else is. If there's any safety concerns. Things of that sort, say for the generators themselves, that we have the separate generator maintenance plan for any generators that we install.
Okay.
So that guy's a separate deal at that point for taking care of that. But it's one of those things where you have a generator that we've installed, we can do it at the same time.
Yeah.
Make it easy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very cool. Well, and the thing is, it's funny. I was, with all the technology we have, you look at the basic electrical socket and it still has mechanical tongs in there. You know, it's like it still could fail. It just baffles me at this day and age. And we still have something like that from, you know, back in the old days, but they're still in there, you know, and they need to get replaced.
Yeah, well, especially, say older outlets definitely need to be replaced.
Yeah, yeah. This is kind of off the top of my head, but I was looking at some of the smart outlets that they have these days. Are you starting to put any of those in homes?
Yeah, so for smart devices and stuff, say we typically have it be like a customer supplied thing. That way the warranty for that device is with the homeowner themselves. But we've done some smart outlet installations along with like the smart switches and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're very interesting, in just regards to just how they have to be set up and then just making sure that they interface properly.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool, honestly, to see that. It's
app or voice control. I think they're super cool. That's why I was just looking at them for my home. I thought, it'd be nice to have a few, in different spots where you can control different things with maybe through Echo or Alexa or whatever,
I say it's kind of a nicer alternative than running an actual wire to have it controlled by a switch.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, thank you for all the discussion, James. We're going to continue, but obviously we'll keep talking with you. I'll ask you some questions too throughout the show if it pops up here. But Cody, I want to get into now these hybrid water heaters or heat pump water heaters. And the reason is, we all know in Washington State, the Washington State Building Code Council in November 4th of 2022 basically said, hey, no more natural gas. And I think they said it for propane, too, as I believe. I didn't go in and read the entire document. But that really drove a lot of electricity requirements. And, you got electric water heaters. And I didn't know this. And again, you can share. I'm just giving some history background. But I went to energy.gov, and they were saying that an electric water heater can account for up to 18% of your electricity costs in a given year. But with heat pumps, we're going to talk about how these operate. They use up to almost 63% less energy than the traditional electric water heater. So, and I know you're going to talk about some numbers and savings, but they were saying on energy.gov that if every household in the United States used a heat pump water heater, the cost savings would top $8.2 billion a year. Yeah, that's a big number.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's start the discussion and we'll move it into the fourth segment. So first of all, what is a heat pump water heater and why do you like them, Cody?
Well, I mean, really, it's just a standard electric water heater. And then they have a heat pump component on the top of them. So they work just like your regular electric water heater would, with two elements, one towards the bottom third of the tank and one towards the top third of the tank. And then they have a heat pump component on top. What I mean by a heat pump component is like the compressor. And what that does in a very simple sense is it pulls any heat it can from the surrounding area of the tank, outside air or inside air if you're in your garage or something, and it kind of just preheats the water in that tank.
Okay.
That being said, instead of our incoming water here in Seattle is about 50 degrees and we wanted to get it to 120, that's a 70 degree temperature rise.
Yeah. And the electric water here is doing that with electric rods, basically. And
just straight rods.
Just zapping that water and pouring a lot of electrical juice in there.
Right, correct. Yeah, exactly. So the heat pump water heater is going to kind of it can heat the water heater up all the way, but it's not really meant to do that. It's meant to just kind of supplement, and then the heat coils come on when they need to.
Okay.
Right? So if you can imagine heating the water, 70 degrees takes quite a while. Everybody here has watched water try to boil, right? And we are taking water that's usually, a 50 or 40 degree temp rise, and you can do it a lot faster and a lot more efficient.
Yeah. We're going to get back. We're going to continue our discussion. I got to run for a break here, but I want to continue on and we'll talk about how the heat pump works. And, the big benefit really is you're preheating that with heat out of the air, even down if it's, 50, 60 degrees, you're still heat in the air that you can preheat the water heater. So we'll get into that discussion with Cody when we come back. With that, I'm Pete. This is Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM. All right, we're back. This is Pete with Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM. We're having a great discussion here. We talked with James Henry, who's a electrical install tech on the service side. Had a great discussion first part of the show, all the things that he does. with C-Town. And go ahead, guys, if you want to hear this podcast, I mean, obviously you'll hear it on Cairo, but you can also go to ctownservices.com and go under the More tab. And in there, there's a podcast. Click on that. It has all of the shows we've done in the past to educate. This one will be on there, too. You'll be able to listen to James again. And now we're talking with Cody quite a bit about heat pump water systems, water heating systems, water heaters. And then we're going to also get into heat pump maintenance and maybe some furnace maintenance and things like that too with him as well, as time allows in this last segment. You can also give these guys a call. I really like these heat pump systems. We're going to talk about some of the ROI and the financials of them here too with Cody in a few minutes. But if this is something, you know, if you're, you know, with the requirements that have come now in Washington State, if you're, you know, the water heaters are starting to go, if you're seeing problems, this is a good one to explore as the, you know, the next alternative, especially since now, you know, trying to get a natural gas water heater is going to be very, very difficult to do, if next to impossible. So, and heat pumps, you know, we love them. Cody and I have talked about heat pumps for, you know, heating and cooling your home. We'll touch on that a little bit too in this segment, but I've always been a big believer in heat pumps. I think for the Washington State climate, they're great because of the delta between the refrigerant and the average temperature in Washington State. You just have good delta and they run very, very efficiently in that regard. So give them a call, 360-CTOWN, or go to ctownservices.com and schedule your appointment to have them come out and get one of those installed. I think you'd be happy that you made that choice. So Cody, going back to our discussion here on these heat pump systems, you talked about, I just want to make sure people are clear on this, because you mentioned, you know, you still really, the heat pump is pulling heat out of the air. And it, if I understand this correctly, it's kind of, you talked about what typical water is at about 50 degrees, right?
In our area. Yeah.
Yeah. In our area. So if you just had an electrical water heater, you'd go from 50 to 120, which you're pumping all that electrical energy in there to heat that water up, right?
Exactly.
So with a heat pump, it could take it from 50 up to, it does it preheat up to, do you have an idea like where it preheats before it would kick in?
Oh, I mean, you can do heat pump only and get it all the way to about,
you can, okay.
Yeah, you
okay.
can. It's just going to take a little bit longer. And as you're utilizing that water in that tank, the electricity is going to come on.
Okay, so if you have like a bigger family and you got maybe two or three showers in a row, that's where the electrical is going to kick in to heat.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. But this is where the cost savings comes. And, you know, guys, that's one thing. And you got to remember, too, I was talking with Cody off air. The way I view these hybrid systems, it's really almost like a mini split kind of, Cody, isn't it? Just sitting on top of the tank.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's a regular water heater. And the heat pump system is for that water heater solely. It doesn't affect anything else. It's just for that water heater.
Because you were talking off air about the misconception people have. They think their house is going to be colder. Can you talk a little bit about that and, like, why that's not true?
Yeah, so, you know, and naturally, why wouldn't you think that? You know, to a typical consumer that doesn't do heating and air conditioning, you say, hey, I'm taking the heat from your house and heating up your water. You're going like, well, why isn't my home getting cold, you know?
Yeah.
The Northwest Energy Alliance has, NEA, has done a lot of testing with this, and they've come up with it usually just in your area, you know, just in probably a 20 or 30 square foot radius, you're changing that temperature, you know, lowering the temperature in your home maybe 2 degrees.
Okay.
So not extremely noticeable. Yeah. And especially through your whole house. I mean, you're talking about in that area.
Yeah.
You go to the next room.
Well, and I mean, if you have a heat pump system in your house, or you have ductless, you know, zones, okay, maybe they got to run a little bit extra, but it's not going to be a lot because they're so efficient. It's not going to be a lot of increase in energy cost. I would think.
And it's minimal. Like I said, it's only in that one area through the home. Yeah. There's no difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Now let's talk about, because, you know, I made the statement, I was looking at, energy.gov, and they were talking about heat pumps typically use 60 to 63% less energy than traditional electric. So what do you, I mean, let's convert that like to dollar savings. What, if you look at a heat pump water system, like what that cost is per year versus what a cost of a typical electric water heater is, kind of how does that stack up?
Yeah. So you can walk to your water heater or your furnace right now, or your heat pump or your air conditioner unit, and it'll usually have a big yellow sticker that says energy guide on it. Right. And a lot of people recognize the sticker. And on a typical average 50-gallon regular electric water heater, it's going to say about $430 a year, give or take. I've seen it higher. I've seen it slightly lower, but almost never below like $390, right?
Okay.
On a gas water heater, regular natural gas water heater, it's going to usually say about $290. I think the one I read earlier was $297. Okay. On a heat pump water heater, you're going to read about $113. And that's annually, right?
Okay.
So your 63% adds pretty close from that $430 down to the $113. Yeah. You're getting real close.
Okay. And that, I misspoke. That actually is from Energy Star. It wasn't energy.com. So the Energy Star is the sticker you're talking about.
Yeah. Energy Guys, Energy Star sticker. Yeah, exactly.
Energy
yeah.
Star one. Yeah. So if you look at that, so if we kind of, to help people out, because people are going to ask this anyway. So if we dollarize that and we look at kind of the whole approach here, so you got roughly about, let's just say $350 a year on savings. If you're looking at to do like, you guys, you were saying, which brand do you guys put in on the?
For the heat pump water heaters, we use a company called State Select. They're owned by a company, pretty large company called A. O. Smith.
Yeah, A. O. Smith's been around a long time.
Yeah, a ton.
A lot of people know who that is. Okay, and so I mean, just roughly, I know things are, you know, it's a range, but I mean, roughly out the door, because you know there's a cost of this this heat pump water heater, and then you got the install. But like roughly, kind of, what are you talking about for a total price out the door to do something like that?
You could be $5,000, give or take.
Okay.
You know, just like kind of a rough ballpark number.
Okay. So rough ballpark, just 5,000. So I'm saving say $350 a year. So I've got probably a 12 to 14 year payback, but then don't they have like tax or incentives or rebates on these things?
Yeah, there's both actually right now. So there's a $500 instant rebate.
Wow.
You get that right off the bid. And then there's also with the new Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, that a lot of people are talking about now.
Yeah.
There's a $2,000 incentive on your taxable income at the end of the year. So,
okay.
And that's not saying you're getting $2,000 back, but you're $2,000 less on your taxable income.
But you get
income,
a deduction, so, which a lot of people have taxes they got to pay. So that's a good thing. So basically what we're saying here. And then the other thing you talked about was the points. Could you talk about that again?
Yeah, that's more for new builds, but a lot of people with new builds are going heavily in this area, ductless mini splits. That's what we're seeing a lot of, right? Yeah. They're easier installations and they get points, you know? So these new homes need, I want to say it's in between 4 and 4.5 energy points is what they consider them.
Okay.
And it's pretty difficult to hit those if you're not doing stuff with heat pumps.
Okay.
So if you're doing like a ductless mini split on top of a heat pump water heater, that's the easiest and less, you know, it's the least expensive way for a builder to get those points in the home.
Okay. And what if they don't get the points? What happens?
You don't build.
Oh, okay. So it's an all or nothing game. You have to get.
Yeah. These houses are being built tight, you know. So they.
All right. So what you said. So a heat pump and a heat pump water system. It's automatic. It'll get you that. You'll have the points that
you're getting real close. Yeah. And then there's just these little onesie twosie things you have to do.
Yeah. You know? So it's pretty easy. That's the bulk of it. So if you look at that plus the tax incentives and the rebates, that really accelerates the return on investment, the payback time for these heat pump systems.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's good to know. All right. So let's talk quickly because we only got like a minute left, but this time of year, are you guys kind of gearing up or doing a lot of AC maintenance and heat pump maintenance, Cody?
We absolutely are. Yeah. We want to get you ready before the season hits. You know, I think everybody forgets it gets hot in July every year.
Well, it's going to get hot this weekend, too.
Yeah, this weekend, you know, we're going to be like 75 or 76 on Saturday is what it reads here, which is like blistering for Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
We're gearing up right now, and we have a whole maintenance team just going to do maintenances. So some of those demand service calls, you know, hey, my system doesn't work, can be fulfilled as well.
Alleviate, yeah. So now's the time actually get the maintenance done. And James, like you said, the partner program is a great way to get on that, too, just to get that taken care of year after year.
No, definitely.
Very good. Well, guys, as always, it's been great. It's been awesome. We've run out of time. James, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, man.
Of course. It was good being here.
Yeah. Cody, as always, it's good to talk with you.
Yeah, you as well, Pete. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, guys. With that, I'm Pete. Check them out at SeatownServices.com or give them a call for the Seatown Partner Program, especially for maintenance on HVAC, both air conditioning and heating, heat pumps. It's time to get that done. So give them a call at 360-C-TOWN. This is Pete with Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM.